Next is a Prabhupada Nectar reading given by Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan on July 13, 1984.
I'll tell you before I read it who the contributor was, although usually I put this in the notes in the back. This was given by both Surabhi Swami and Vananda. And there are numbers of others who know this story too. One day, while Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, he had simultaneous visitors from Vrindavan and from Mayapur. This was during a period when temple construction was going on both in Vrindavan and Mayapur. And so Prabhupada could expect that his disciples in those places had come to ask him for money. And the disciples could also anticipate, that Prabhupada would be expecting and demanding results from them on these important construction projects. But when disciples visited from distant places, Prabhupada first always welcomed them with Vaishnava etiquette. Prabhupada had said that his mission was like a war on Maya, and so he received his own soldiers from the field by first giving them a reception of sweet words and relief. He asked them if they had taken any prasadam, and he suggested that they might want to rest. At least for a few minutes, the immediate pressing problems were put aside as Prabhupada's disciples basked in the sweetness of his darshan and his kind welcome. When Prabhupada asked Gargamuni and Jayapataka Swamis what they wanted, they said they needed 150,000 rupees to continue construction. "I just gave you," said Prabhupada. "All the time you are asking for money. But when is it going to be finished?" The disciples remained silent while Prabhupada inquired and criticized at their demands. Surabhi Swami became anxious and thought, "If they cannot even get 150,000 for Mayapur, then what will Prabhupada say when he hears me ask for 250,000? Prabhupada went on to say that in neither Vrindavan nor Mayapur was there sufficient collection going on, but they were simply regularly coming to him, treating him as the money supplier. After speaking for some time, Prabhupada agreed to give Mayapur 70,000 rupees, which they accepted gratefully. "So, Surabhi Prabhu," said Prabhupada, "what can I do for you?" Surabhi had a more systematic presentation, listing all the needs for construction to continue Vrindavan. Hearing attentively, Prabhupada then asked, "This adds up to how much?" 2.5 lakhs, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada then turned to his secretary and asked that a check be made out for 2.5 lakhs. Two checks were made out and presented to the devotees. Surabhi was about to leave the room when Prabhupada called him back. "How much does it cost to take a rickshaw," asked Srila Prabhupada, "from our temple in Vrindavan to the Punjab bank and then back?" Surabhi replied that it was about 125 paisa. Then Prabhupada asked the secretary, "Brahmananda, how much does it cost to send a registered letter from Bombay to Vrindavan?" The answer was 75 paisa. Srila Prabhupada then took back the check from Surabhi and said, "We will send the check by mail." So just to save 50 pais out of a sum of 2.5 lakhs of rupees, Prabhupada preferred to mail the check to his bank account rather than have Surabhi hand carry it. Srila Prabhupada was ultimately willing to spend whatever was required to build his important temples in India, yet he nevertheless instructed and showed his disciples that they should save every price as far as possible. Here's one a lot of devotees were present for: Dhanodara Swami, Dwarkadish Das, Prabhupada Sri Prabhupada Swami. In September 1974 in Vrindavan, a circus magician visited the Krishna Balaram Mandir and showed Prabhupada and the devotees his repertoire of tricks. Hearing that Prabhupada had agreed to see the magician, Prabhupada's friend, Bhagaji, hurried to the Gurukula to gather all the students and teachers. Within minutes, most of the temple leaders, teachers, and Gurukul boys were gathered in Prabhupada's room, ready to see the fun. Prabhupada sat pleasantly behind his desk and asked the magician what he could do. The magician placed some coins first in Prabhupada's hand. He said, "Go," and the coins somehow slipped out of Prabhupada's hand. "Can you make the money come?" Prabhupada joked. "No," the magician replied. "No, you can only make the money go," said Srila Prabhupada. The magician then produced boxes in which different colors suddenly appeared in different slots. He also had games with feathers. He would take a white feather, rub it, pull it with his fingers, and it would turn into many different colors. Several times he asked Srila Prabhupada to help him with the tricks. Coins appeared to come out from Prabhupada's ears, and Prabhupada laughed at the illusion. But some of the devotees present felt uneasy that their spiritual master was being made the object of the mystifications and tricks. Prabhupada seemed to enjoy it, but after a while, he deliberately changed the mood. "What about the miseries of life?" Srila Prabhupada asked the magician. "Can you make these disappear? Birth, death, disease, and old age?" The magician replied submissively, "No, that I cannot." At these words, the magician sat down, and Srila Prabhupada took the superior position. "But I can make these things disappear," said Srila Prabhupada. "That is the real magic." The magic show ended, and Srila Prabhupada spoke his realized transcendental wisdom to the magician and all the assembled devotees. Srila Prabhupada then gave the magician a garland, and he distributed sweets to everyone in the room. Then another section I have called Prabhupada Said, and there I quote, usually from letters, about four or five quotes of Prabhupada on a particular subject. So here's one Prabhupada said on health. First is from a morning walk. "You accept these four principles of life: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and there will be no cancer. Those who are strictly on this line, they never suffer from cancer or any such disease. Now take, for example, me. I've come here in this country for the last 8 years. How many times have I gone to the doctor? That one heart attack. That is serious. That is another thing. Otherwise, generally, how many times have I gone? I do not pay any bill of doctor. So if we live a very hygienic life, regulated life, there is no question of cancer or any disease. The disease is created by violating nature's law. One of the causes of cancer disease is this contraceptive method. You can make research on it. So they are on one side discovering the contraceptive method, contraceptive chemicals, and on the other side researching for cancer disease. And they also say smoking is one of the causes. So why not give up smoking and illicit sex, contraceptive method?" Then another quote from Prabhupada on health. "They foolishly say, struggle for existence, survival of the fittest. But who is fit? He does not know. Fittest means one who does not get next a material body. He is fit. Because as soon as you get a material body, nunam pramatak purutevi karma." It's from a morning walk. Then a letter. This may be a little particular to a particular person, but I think it may be general enough. "So far your health is concerned, Hawaii is very good climate. You can take bath in the sea, that will keep your health. Take dal, especially urad, and a little cheese, peanuts, green vegetables, especially squash leaf." When Srila Prabhupada visited the ISKCON temple in Amsterdam, he agreed to install deities of Lord Jagannath. But due to the temple leader's mismanagement, the event turned into a fiasco. TV cameramen were present, as well as reporters from the biggest newspapers in the city, and the temple room was crowded with guests. But when Prabhupada came into the temple and sat to perform the yajna, he saw many discrepancies. "Where are the fruits and grains?" he asked. The temple president replied that the fruits had all been used in the fruit salad. Prabhupada became angry. Where are the flowers? He asked. Reply was, we forgot. Who's responsible for this? Prabhupada demanded. In his transcendental anger, Prabhupada was not the least bit intimidated by the presence of the TV, press, and guests. He was more concerned about Lord Jagannath and the installation and the nonsense of his disciples. Well, Prabhupada, stammered the temple president, they didn't follow my instructions. What instructions? Said Prabhupada loudly. Who's responsible for this? Which rascal? The devotees present were all frightened by Prabhupada's demeanor. His eyes widened and the devotees felt it was like the wrath of Lord Nrisimhadev. Despite the mistakes, Prabhupada proceeded with the ceremony. But when it came time to actually place the deities of Lord Jagannath on the altar, more major discrepancies burst forth. The devotees suddenly discovered that the altar they had built was too small. They had built the throne on top of an altar, but now discovered that the deities could not fit. They had to close the curtains, while half a dozen devotees rushed behind the altar to make emergency repairs. While Srila Prabhupada, the media people, and a large crowd waited, sounds of banging and chopping emitted from behind the closed curtain. The whole throne had to be taken apart and carried to a corner of the hall. Finally, the curtain was opened and the deities placed on the altar. But their dress and decoration appeared quite plain, and Prabhupada's visage remained displeased. But after his initial fiery expression, Srila Prabhupada's anger abated. He proceeded with the ceremony in a normal way, chanting the mantras and delivering a full Krishna conscious lecture. At this time, he also awarded sannyas order to the Amsterdam temple president. Due to the density of the crowd and the heat and smoke from the fire, the unventilated room became difficult for everyone. But by now, Srila Prabhupada was beyond such discomforts, and he showed no displeasure. In fact, he alone in the room seemed undisturbed as the smoke filled and the ceremony continued for installing Lord Jagannath in his Amsterdam temple. So, also I have a notes section in the back where I sometimes give more details or add some more comments. So I have some comment on this. This story was given by Hare Krishna Das and others also. So I've commented, this anecdote was told by Hare Krishna Das. Hare Krishna Das also relates that this incident gave him lasting impressions of Prabhupada's qualities. He realized that if the management of the temple had not made so many mistakes, then there would not have been cause for Prabhupada's becoming so angry in front of all the guests. Nevertheless, it also revealed that Prabhupada did not care so much about the audience as he did for Krishna and Krishna's comfort and Krishna's being pleased. The devotees were able to see how Prabhupada was actually aloof from public opinion. He was concerned only with pleasing Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness. He had no other motivation.